Heartbreaking images flash across your screen. A new tragedy has befallen the region. The bereaved stand together in trembling embrace, sobbing inconsolably. Groups of young people huddle in spontaneous prayer. Impromptu vigils of handheld candles light makeshift memorials of flowers and signs. A flickering light in the bleak shadow of unspeakable loss. There are no words of comfort to offer beneath this shroud of grief. No action that can undo this terrible event. Nothing that can grant relief from this relentless nightmare. But here in the thick darkness of mass mourning, Raquel Aki brings unexpected hope to the scene of tragedy in the form of a sensitive, compassionate black lab, a crisis response canine named Pickles. Raquel is a volunteer with Hope AACR, Animal Assisted Crisis Response, and she's next on Spotlight on the Sound.
Welcome to Spotlight on the Sound, a weekend magazine focusing on Puget Sound luminaries whose passion for touching lives is making a difference in our community. And now your host, David Summers.
Hello and welcome to Spotlight on the Sound, Salem Radio Seattle's weekend showcase of the hardest working hearts in our community. It's our hope that you come away from today's show not only with a greater familiarity with a truly great program, but with the inspiration to become involved and to help make the Puget Sound a better and brighter place to live. With me today is Raquel Lackey with Hope AACR, Animal Assisted Crisis Response. Welcome, Raquel.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
In a few words, could you tell us what Hope AACR is all about?
Absolutely. Hope is an all-volunteer, nationwide, 501c3 nonprofit whose mission is to provide comfort and encouragement through animal-assisted support to individuals affected by crisis and disasters.
So in kind of synopsis, you show up on the scene of an emergency and you make people feel better.
Well, we don't show up unless we're asked. Number one rule in crisis response is do not self-deploy. Otherwise, you will cause more chaos than what's already out there.
A bunch of loose cannons.
Correct.
Just adding to the chaos, right? You know, I'd have to think that if you're involved in an organization that is responsible for showing up at an emergency, it's got to change the way that you view a crisis. I know, and I watch TV and my heart goes out to the people, but I feel so disconnected from it. How has being involved in Hope affected you?
Well, my first reaction is just like yours. I see the tragic event and it's sadness, it's shock, it's those initial feelings that flood all of us. Right after that, though, I cross my fingers that people wait to be called to serve. Otherwise, there is additional chaos. You know, believe it or not, at a tragic event, disaster, there's a command system that's quickly put in place. And if people are not properly trained, they don't know that structure and quickly gets out of hand.
Well, I know, like, for instance, with the Oso tragedy, which happened recently, you were deployed to that. And maybe you could use that as an example of the process that's involved in deploying a Hope team.
For sure. For the Oso mudslide, I was watching the news Sunday morning and saw a need in the community and texted a colleague of mine. Her name's Mary Schoenfeld, the international president of Green Cross Academy of Traumatology, asking if she needed Pickles because she knows my black lab is crisis response trained.
We're not talking kosher dills either.
No, not even sweet pickles, although she is adorable. Mary quickly responded back, could you please come to the Snohomish County EOC as quickly as possible? Mm. Once we were there, we saw a room full of people, approximately 200 people, in great need, an intense, stressful situation. By the end of that day, Mary turned to me and said, you know the crisis response teams. Can you help me deploy professionally trained crisis response dog teams out to various locations that have been affected by the Oso mudslide. And that was on March 23rd, the day after the slide. Mm. We still have teams out there today working.
Wow. You know, for people who maybe this is a new concept of sending crisis response teams, including trained dogs, to these kinds of events, what kinds of traits make dogs uniquely qualified to help people who are traumatized?
Well, dogs have actually, canines, have been used for many years in times of crisis. And so they're probably the animal that's most accepted by society.
Mm-hmm.
For example, law enforcement the world over uses canines for
That's
both
true, yeah.
patrol mm-hmm. and protect. We see search and rescue dogs. And so animal-assisted crisis response took that a step further, noting that the dogs can provide their unconditional love to the first responders is how mm-hmm. it really started. And so the traits we look for in dogs are they need to be calm, have a calming presence. They need to be able to interact with all kinds of people, need to be able to deal with environments of high stress,
mm-hmm.
different sounds, definitely intense smells, and the sights that they see are incredibly different than what we see as a human standing much taller than them.
You know, one of the things I remembered you sharing was that the way you trained a dog to become familiar with a firefighter in full gear, maybe you could discuss that real quick.
We start at a fire station, and the reason we do that is because the emergency vehicles, they run on a different fuel than what our vehicles run on.
Mm-hmm.
We can't smell it, but the dogs definitely can. And so we ask the firefighters if they'll please start the fire engines and the ambulances so that the dogs can get used to that smell. We walk around the vehicle, usually putting treats on the bumpers
mm-hmm.
for the dogs to entice them. When we work with the firefighters themselves, their uniforms are so saturated with the smoke and the various smells of the situations that they've already responded to. We ask them to slowly put on their uniform. First, they interact with the firemen outside their uniform
mm-hmm.
and give the dog treats. Then we ask them to put their pants on, and the dog starts to smell
mm-hmm.
the pants. Then they put their jacket on. And these days, there's now a special apparatus on their breathing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, to help them with oxygen. And
so there's a beeping that's associated
okay.
with their oxygen
mm-hmm.
to tell other firefighters they're getting continual airflow.
Mm.
So we even have the firefighters put their helmets and their breathing mask on and turn on that beeping so the dogs can get a full sense of what a fireman will look like in a time of an emergency.
Yeah, and that's the funny thing is, it was really kind of eye-opening to hear that, what it must be like from the perspective of the dog. The dog is not going to assume that it's a human being in an outfit that smells funny and looks intimidating.
No, it's a very slow process at times.
You know, I've had on a number of organizations that involved service dogs, and I'm curious to know what are the differences between the demands placed on a crisis response dog and a service dog?
That's pretty insightful. We take this very, very seriously. So a service dog is for one person to perform a service, whether it's for aiding in the blind, detecting seizures,
mm-hmm.
helping the hearing impaired. A crisis response dog has a handler that owns them. For example, Pickles goes home with me every single night. And we as a team provide comfort to many other people. She does provide comfort to me. However, her job when we go out is to provide comfort to those affected by the crisis.
Right. So, well, just to summarize, there's something of a service dog for everybody.
But you don't want to call them a service dog because a service dog has special ADA federal
right.
laws that follow them.
Completely different set of rules governing service dogs.
Correct.
So people are maybe not familiar with what a person is like when they are in the midst of a trauma, a tragedy. Perhaps you could describe that a little bit and then tell us how these dogs specifically help people.
I'll give you an example. I'll tell you a story. I had one of my dogs, I have two, that have helped at the Oso mudslide. We were in Darrington, and a woman came in to the Red Cross Community Center, and she was distraught. And so when we are going through crisis, our bodies release a bunch of hormones into the system, adrenaline.
Mm-hmm.
The dogs can detect this.
Wow.
And so this woman who was distraught, nobody in the Red Cross Center could reach her. She was not speaking coherently.
Mm.
She had a look of a 1,000-yard stare.
Mm-hmm.
She slowly found and made eye contact with my chocolate lab, and she stopped. And she came over to him, and she slowly melted to the floor. And as she began petting him, she began weeping.
Mm.
And she broke down, and we let this happen for a good minute or so. And after she regained some composure, she was then able to communicate with us in words that she was just looking for her children, and
wow.
We're very scared. So what does the dog do? The dog brings us humans to the present moment.
Mm.
And these crisis dogs are trained to respond and provide that unconditional love so that people can get through what they need to emotionally let go, and they become a bridge for other humans to help them, such as a Red Cross mental health worker.
Now, you have two dogs, and this one was the other dog who's not here today, but Pickles is here in studio with us. Could you tell us a little bit about your dogs?
Absolutely. I have English Labs. Pickles is amazing. She never fails to wake up happy and is ready to give her heart and soul every day.
Hmm.
So that makes it require of me to be her best advocate,
right,
to tell her when she needs to take time to
mm-hmm.
rest, which is exactly what I did for this Oso mudslide. It's gone on for over a month now.
Mm-hmm.
And my dogs, I swapped them back and forth so that they could not get overtired and continue to help to serve, which is a big part of the training that we go through with humans as well.
Mm-hmm.
Take care of yourself so that you can continue on to provide support to others in need.
Mm. And what about your other dog?
Banji is what we call a hopeful.
Mm-hmm.
He's not yet certified by HOPE. He is a trained therapy dog and provides work with a couple of different organizations here. To prepare him, he goes to a hospital and he spends time in emergency room. And then he also spends time in the ICU department to become familiar with that adrenaline rush that we all get at different times for different reasons.
Wow. You touched briefly on the background of HOPE, mentioning that originally the dogs were taken out to first responders. Could you go into a little more detail about how the organization got started?
Absolutely. It's really interesting. In 1998, after the Thurston County High School shootings in Springfield, Oregon,
mm-hmm.
therapy dog teams were called in by National Organization for Victims Assistance. It's called NOVA.
Mm-hmm.
Cindy Ellers and her dog Bear were one of the teams to respond to this. And when the dogs were present, the counselors observed an immediate sense of relaxation and comfort in those experiencing trauma-related stress. So the dog's ability to connect with people experiencing this trauma-related stress was the inspiration behind animal-assisted crisis response teams. So the first animal-assisted crisis response organization was started by Cindy Ellers, and it's called HOPE.
Okay.
AACR. So that was back, HOPE was started in 1999. Immediately after she had that experience.
And what are some of the events, the tragedies in recent history that HOPE teams have been deployed to?
Oh, there's actually more than I will remember here today, which is sad to say. We were asked to go to 9/11. Mm. We were called in by the American Red Cross to serve in New York City. Multiple wildfires in California or Eastern Washington. Uh-huh. Hurricane Katrina.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Shooting at Virginia Tech in 2007.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
They were there. There has been flooding in Atlanta. Last year, you probably remember the Washington Navy Shipyard shooting.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
We were there for several weeks for that. And then, as you said, most recently here in Oso at the mudslide, they've been throughout Arlington, Oso, and Darrington communities.
And you were also at the Como helicopter crash, too.
We did. We were asked by Como to come in, and Pickles got to meet with the woman that made the original 911 call of actually. So it was quite endearing to be able to meet with the family.
What are the specific goals of Hope AACR?
We pretty much have simple goals. Three that I can list off for you is to train a nationwide network of certified canine-assisted crisis response teams so that we can respond locally and nationally to disasters mm-hmm. and crisis. We have a goal to assist first responders and relief agencies in providing comfort to those affected by crisis and disasters. And the third, and I think is probably the most important because it lays the groundwork, is to provide the highest quality training for our crisis response teams.
Mm. Yeah. And now, where are you represented? What is the reach of Hope currently?
We are represented nationwide, actually, across five different regions mm-hmm. throughout the United States. So we can travel from Washington State to Florida, up to Maine, California, you name it.
What are some of the financial challenges that Hope is facing right now?
We run the organization from the bootstraps, for sure. So it's all volunteer. Mm-hmm. Our board is volunteer. All of our dog teams are volunteer. Nobody's paid. So we sustain ourselves on membership dues from members throughout the United States, and the rest we rely on donations, which we don't do any special fundraising for.
Right.
We just ask our teams to do that on a day-to-day basis to the best of their ability.
Are you making any effort to get the publicity out about your organization or people finding out when they're in the midst of a crisis and there's a Hope team coming to help them out?
We have been so fortunate for this event. The level of awareness of these crisis response dogs has risen.
Mm.
And because of that, we've had several organizations donate to Hope and even specifically to the Pacific Northwest chapter to help the teams come. Because we've had teams come from California, mm-hmm. Oregon, Montana. We also deployed with our sister organization. I called in teams from National Animal Assisted Crisis Response,
mm-hmm.
and they were able to provide teams also from Western Washington, Oregon. One lady and her dog flew from St. Louis.
Mm.
And it was just heartfelt, the amount of work that she did with kids in the Darrington area.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's great. You mentioned a little bit about the training required by the dogs, but what is required to become a certified volunteer with Hope?
There's actually a lot more training on my end of the leash than mm-hmm. on Pickles' end of
really?
The leash. So on my end of the leash, we go through human first aid,
mm-hmm.
CPR.
Yeah.
We go through animal first aid training. What happens if Pickles needs to have CPR? And or is cut.
Mm-hmm.
We go through incident command structure so that we know how to communicate during a time of a crisis.
Yeah.
We go through a lot of psychological first aid because we too are seeing things with the first responders mm-hmm. that you need to be prepared for. And at the end of the day, you need to have policies and processes set up in place to help the volunteers on the human side of the leash so that they can continue to work on a day-in, day-out basis. So we do a lot of training about that. One of the best sources in our area here in Washington and throughout the United States is Green Cross Academy of Traumatology that helps with the disaster stress management.
And just to be clear, this Green Cross has nothing to do with smoking marijuana.
No,
right?
Darn it. No. They're actually about the disaster stress management. And what we did for the OSO mudslide is for the first time ever, we paired a Green Cross volunteer with a dog team and it helped reach more people than we've ever reached before and that they've ever reached before. So it was a great partnership. The other things we do is we have continuing education even after we're certified.
Now, I understand that you as a HOPE volunteer are responsible for whatever expenses you accumulate, especially when it comes to traveling to these sites of these various crises. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct. So we go into it knowing this is a all-volunteer basis for you to do this. And as such, a HOPE volunteer is never required to deploy. Mm-hmm. So if there's a local disaster, it's much less costly than for those having to get on a plane.
Right. And the OSO is one of the first big crises here in our neck of the woods, is it not?
Luckily.
Yeah.
Yes.
Very thankfully. Probably not since Mount St. Helens blew. At least I'm not well, the wildfires, but on occasion, which happened east of the mountains, but
correct.
Someone is listening, and they're intrigued by what they're hearing. Maybe they think they have a dog who could be trained to become a crisis response animal, or they just have a heart to minister to people in the midst of a crisis. What's the next step?
That's a great question. The next step, I would say, is to make sure that your dog is a therapy dog. First, we require the dogs to be at least 12 different visits on the therapy side of it so that they know animal-assisted therapy and animal-assisted interactions and that they're really familiar with their dogs. We require the dogs actually to be 2 years old or older, so they need to be
no puppies.
Sound. No, because you'll do damage to the puppies if they're out there before they're ready.
Mm-hmm.
So we do a lot of training with the dogs before the 2 years of age, before we even look at them. For example, we do fun stuff like let's go for a ferry ride or...
Oh, yeah, just to familiarize them with all the different experiences of life.
Right. Let's take them for a walk in Pike Place Market. That would be incredibly chaotic at times. Then I would recommend that they check out the website at www.hopeaacr.org. They can call us at any time. There's a nationwide hotline, 1-877-HOPE-K9S. Or there's also an email that they can send us an email and we will get back to them. It's info@hopeaacr.org.
Okay, so if they can remember HOPE AACR, Animal Assisted Crisis Response, they're golden. HOPEAACR.org and all the rest of the contact information is there, correct?
Absolutely.
Well, Raquel, I want to thank you so much for being on today.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to today's conversation with Raquel Lackey with HOPE AACR. We'll be on next week at this time with another passionate voice in the community who is changing the sound one life at a time. So until then, remember to shine a light and stay sound. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Spotlight on the Sound. If you would like more information on any of the guests or organizations featured on this program, or if you have recommendations or suggestions for future programs, please email webmaster@salemradioseattle.com or call 206-443-8200. That's 206-443-8200. Thanks for listening today, and join us again next week at the same time for Spotlight on the Sound.